The Island of Sheep by John Buchan. Adapted for radio in three parts by Anthony Carey. With Nigel Anthony as Richard Hannay. Part 3, The Riddle of the Tablet.
Our motorboat threaded its way through the many islands that comprise the Norlands, until on our port appeared a low green coast, cradled deep in the sea. The Island of Sheep. As Lombard Peter and Geordie Hamilton gazed at its amazing greenness, as vivid as any English meadow in May, my mind ranged over the events of the past weeks. Valdemar Haraldsson had fled this island, pursued by the ruthless Jacques d'Angreville and a gang of villains who were after his father's fortune. He sought sanctuary in England and enlisted our help. But the enemy was determined and clever and had forced us to retreat from London to Scotland. And now we'd fallen back for our last stand on the Island of Sheep. The wheel had come full circle. Haraldsson and his daughter Anna had gone on ahead of us.
Good day, little Haraldsson.
Welcome to the Island of Sheep, General Hannay. Mr. Lombard, welcome.
Valdemar! Geordie Hamilton, you know.
Yes, of course. Come ashore, gentlemen.
Peter, I'm very glad to see you. We shall have great fun together.
Hello, Anna. Mr. Haraldsson.
Ah, Peter. You brought your falcon. Morag, we'll have much sport here.
Thank you. Right, Geordie, I'll help you with our things.
And I'll help you both. Jakob, lend a hand.
All right.
Any news of our enemies, Valdemar?
None. We have a telephone to Gjalmsholm. I've arranged to receive word of any strangers who arrive here.
And Lord Clanroyden, any news from him?
No, not yet, Mr. Lombard. No doubt he will soon telegraph. He said he would follow at once.
What men have you on the island?
There is Arne Arneson in the house, the three gardeners, Jakob, who brought you here in charge of the motorboat. These are all old men, I fear.
But where are all those hefty youths you promised us?
Well, that's my mistake. I had forgotten. All the young men are away at sea, fishing for the cod and the halibut.
So our total strength, when Lord Clanroyden arrives, will be 4 reasonably active men, 2 children, and 4 or 5 ancient retainers. Not a happy prospect. Well, you better make a reconnaissance at once. See how the island can be defended. It's going to be difficult, Valdemar.
But there is no danger in the north.
No. That coastline is too rugged and broken. But the whole of the east coast, opposite that large island, I've forgotten his name.
Halder.
Halder, thank you. That coast is wide open for a landing.
What do you think the enemy's plan is, Dick?
I've no idea, Lombard. But I still don't believe the gang will raid the island. We've only to telephone Hjalmarshaven to bring in help. And a wireless from there will fetch the Danish gunboat from the fishing ground.
Oh, that reminds me. This message from Lord Clanroyden was telephoned on from Hjalmarshaven.
Delayed, but coming on. Expect me when you see me, Lower.
No date or place given. Cryptic.
Typical of Sandy.
So, what do we do? Mr. Lombard, what do you think?
I suggest we stay for a fortnight. Treat it as a fishing holiday, but keep our eyes and ears open. If nothing has happened, we can consider you safe and return to England.
That sounds to me most generous. You have already done much for me.
Father, please, excuse me.
Yeah, come in, Anna. What is it?
I was wondering whether I could take Peter to fly his falcon. It's still light enough.
Yes, of course. I had forgotten. That would be kind of you, Anna.
Thank you, Father. Oh, I forgot. A marine biology boat is steaming up the channel.
What?
You can probably see her from the window, flying the Danish flag. See, Mr. Lombard?
Well, my eyes aren't as keen as yours, Anna. I can see the boat, but not the flag. She's going at a great pace.
Yeah, she has a bone in her teeth, as our seamen say. How do you know she is for marine biology, Anna?
Jakob Gregersen told me. He knows all about the boats here. Her name is the Schilder.
Yes. She looks a trim little ship.
Yeah, the men of the Schilder are wise. They anchor in the bay across the channel when the wind blows steady from the east. This weather will last.
Hello!
Hello!
Those two children spend more time in those kayaks than they do on land.
Anna is a creature of the sea.
She told me she was descended from the seals and had webbed feet. Oh, yes, what is it, Geordie?
Oh, it's a message, sir. Jacob Gregerson says the motorboat is out of action. There's something wrong with the engine, and he'll need outside help to repair it.
Now, that is bad. The motorboat is our only means of transport to the outside. How did it happen? He has not had it out.
It happened in the night, he thinks. He said some fools have been monkeying about with it. Will you be coming to see it?
Oh, yes, we'd better have a look.
Yes. You two, remember to come home in time for dinner, not at midnight.
Right, Father.
Now, let us find out the worst.
You see, sir, the sparking plug is gone and the main feed pipe cut through.
How did it happen? Have you been walking in your sleep, Jacob?
It is Hulda's folk.
Hulda's?
The trolls. They're always out to make mischief.
They must have had a metal cutting blade. That's no natural break. I'd repair it myself, but I've not got the tools here.
Lombard.
Yes?
Will you telephone the shipyard at Yalmershaven? Have a man sent across.
Right away, Dave. I think the weather's changing.
Ran is stoking his ovens.
Who is this Ran, sir?
He is a sea god.
Oh, aye. There is a pity he's not a mechanic.
Oh, the sea's so calm. Why don't we canoe across to the Shalder? Marine biologists are nice people. Perhaps they'll ask us tea.
I don't think we should, Anna. Not cross the channel.
Oh, why not, Peter? We'll be back long before dinner. There's no wind. And the sea's as safe as crossing a vole.
Well, it might just blow.
Oh, we won't get the chance again.
What about the currents? Isn't the mist coming down? No,
it's only summer darkening. It would clear before the evening. You're a landlubber, you know. I'm a sea dog.
But
you ought to believe me. I believe you when it's about birds. I'll give you 5 minutes start and race you.
You're on. Just let me settle Morag. She doesn't much care for this canoe lark.
There's still no reply, Dick. The line appears to be as dead as a dodo.
The trouble is probably at the other end in Hjalmershaven.
Yes, I expect so, Valdemar. All the same, I'd like to check the telephone line. Would you show me its course from the house?
Yes, come with me.
I'll keep on trying. The line might come back.
The line continues on these low posts, down this cleft.
Everything in order so far?
That's what I thought. It's those lazy devils at Hjalmershaven. Now, from this little platform, it goes into that copper casing and enters the sea. Ah, we've checked it all.
Yes.
We can go back then. The fog is thickening.
Now, just a minute.
Yeah?
Something odd about that cable and the casing. If I... Ah.
Oh, my God.
Cat, clean as a whistle. As clean as the petrol pipe in your motorboat. Our enemies are here, Valdemar. They've cut our communications. Back to the house and check our armory.
The whale hunts are very exciting. Beacons on the headlands. All the boats making for the rendezvous. Careful, Peter. Oh. You're steering into me.
Oh, sorry. The mist makes it difficult to hold course. How do they know where to rendezvous?
It cannot be missed. The Grint, that's the pilot whales, only come in clear weather. And the seaways are full of people. It cannot be missed. You know how dogs herd the sheep?
Yes.
Well, the boats guide the school of whales and force the leader into a boat. Once that happens, the rest follow. I've never seen the killing, but I've heard that the waters churn with blood and boats and men with spears. Oh,
sounds pretty beastly.
Oh, perhaps it is. Oh, but then a lot of things are beastly, like killing pigs or using live bait. Anyway, it puts money in the pockets of our poor people and gives them food and lighting for the winter.
All the same, I'm sorry for the whales.
Oh, that's silly. You're not sorry for sea trout. Fish are just cold-blooded things and don't feel.
Whales aren't fish.
Oh, and they... Oh, will you watch what you're steering?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, look, straight ahead. The shoulder.
There's no sign of anyone.
I smell food. Tea. You know I'm always hungry. Shoulder, ahoy! Ahoy! Ahoy there!
Yeah? What is it?
You're the marine biologist, aren't you? We've come to call on you from the island of sheep across the channel.
Boy, I will see.
He didn't look like a sailor.
She's a biologist, silly. Tie up with the port ladder. I'm sure they'll let her stay.
And where did you youngsters spring from?
I'm Miss Harrison from the island of sheep. And this is Peter. We're visitors. May we come aboard?
You certainly may. Tie your canoes. Oh, I see you have. Good. And come aboard.
Take care, Peter.
It isn't easy to get out of these kayaks at the best of times. With a falcon as well. Right. Coming up.
Okay. Right. All right.
Thank you.
Oh, welcome aboard the Shelter.
Thank you.
You're just in time for tea in the deck house.
Oh.
Better leave your bird here.
Oh, yes.
Tie her to the rail.
Right, thanks.
Now, mind how you go. The deck's absolutely cluttered. And here we are. Come along in, my dears.
Okie dokie.
Lydia, Eric.
Oh.
Hi.
This is Miss Harrelson and Peter.
How delightful.
They've come over from the island to join us for tea.
Oh, I couldn't eat another thing.
Are you sure?
Oh, really?
Normie, I don't want to sink the kayak.
Your father has a wonderful place on the island, hasn't he? We heard about it in Yarmouthshaven. Are you two brother and sister?
No, well, no, we're not relations. This is my friend, Peter Hannay. He's English. He's staying with us.
Are you by any chance Sir Richard Hannay's son?
Yes.
And Sir Richard is staying with us.
Is he?
We must return your call. I did take tea with Lady Hannay at Foss, but Sir Richard was out. I've always longed to meet him. And your father, too, my dear.
Oh,
thank you for tea. And now we should be going or our parents will be anxious.
Oh, you can't go in this fog. Look, you can just about see to the ship's side. No further.
I've got a compass and we can't miss the way.
We daren't risk it, dare we, Lancey? We should never be able to face your father if things went wrong.
No, they must wait until the skipper comes. Eric?
I entirely agree.
What about our canoes?
They were winched aboard during tea.
Oh.
Safer that way.
Yes.
Why not take them to your cabin, Lydia?
Peter, what are you doing?
It's locked. She's locked us in.
Oh, it must have swung through by mistake. Miss Ludlow would be down in a minute anyway. Oh, isn't she beautiful, Peter? You know, these are queer people, and it's rather a grubby ship for their nice clothes, but they're kind, I think. More like yachting folk than marine biologists.
Anna, they aren't kind, and they aren't biologists. They're our enemies, your father's and my father's.
But Miss Ludlow...
Miss Ludlow brought a Frenchman, Pierre. I think he must be the one they call the skipper, and another chap called Varander, to our house. Remember I told you they were spying on your father? They're the people we were always on the lookout for in Scotland.
And we've let ourselves be made prisoners.
Things are brightening. This is a piece of luck for us. Now we can deal. We all know the skipper's plan. Descend on the island, kill if necessary.
And what can we do to stop him? He has his gunmen. And there's Martel.
The very sight of that one gives me the creeps. He's a sewer rat. He's already scared Frankie Varander off. How did we ever come to be involved with these monsters?
D'Angreville is going to implicate us all. We will all hang together.
But now we could make our own terms with the people on the island.
We'd have to go carefully. If D'Angreville thinks we're double-crossing him, he'll shoot.
The time for double-crossing, Eric, will be if the skipper plays the fool. If he won't accept a reasonable offer from the island and goes for blood, then we play our hand, the kids.
Well, gentlemen, and Miss Ludlow, tomorrow is the day. For one kind of possession, we can offer another and a dearer.
Pierre, surely the children alter our whole plan. Now we can treat, where before we could only coerce.
I do not think so, my friend. They will not treat, not on our terms. Oh, you want much, no doubt, but I want all, you see. And men will fight for their all.
But Harrelson cares for his daughter above everything, and Hannay for his son.
Maybe, but Harrelson and Hannay are not all.
Lombard doesn't count.
I do not think of Lombard. I think of Lord Clanroyden.
But Clanroyden isn't there.
Not yet, Eric, but he will be there tomorrow.
How do you know? Have you any news?
I know he will not fail me, and he will never yield.
But what do you mean to do?
Fate has been good to us. If they listen to us, so much the pleasanter for everybody. If they fight, we shall fight too. And we shall win.
Win? What do you mean by win?
Everything. I shall get my will, though I leave a house in ashes and an island of dead men.
And then?
Then we disappear, leaving a riddle which no man will ever solve. But trust me, I have made my plans for you, my friends, and for you, my fair lady. Oh, you may have to face some adjustments in your lives, but what of that? Le mouvement, c'est la vie.
There's not much room in here, is there?
It is not made for comfort. Hammock, blankets, porthole. What more do you want?
Oh, poor old Mora. She's drenched with foam and very hungry.
Your ugly bird is better in here with you. The fog is thinning. You can see the moon. Your island is straight across from here.
Yes. Yes, I see. What have you done with Anna?
She's carefully locked away. And if you have any notion of swimming to the island, put it out of your head. You know how freezing cold these waters are. You'd never manage 200 yards, let alone 2 miles. So don't go walking in your sleep.
All the same, let's see. No, he's right, Mora. Morag! Something to write with. Paper. My boat book, yeah. Oh, thank the Lord for the moon. Can at least see to... In Shalder, which is enemy ship. Expect immediate attack. Don't worry about us. We're... all right. Now, hold still, Morag, while I tie it to your leg. You're hungry, and if you don't kill soon, you'll go back to the house. There. Secure. Come along, old girl. You're our one chance.
Peter!
It's no good, General. I doubt they're on this part of the island.
Anna!
Listen.
Anna! Anna!
It's Harrelson.
Hello! Hello, where are you, Anna?
Over here, Valdemar. It's Hannay.
Oh, it's you, General. I heard voices and thought
Well, I don't know what I thought. I'm so out of my mind with worry.
Yeah, I know how you feel, Valdemar. It does no good to be prowling round like a lost dog.
I cannot rest as long as they...
Someone should be at the center of communications, Valdemar. Go back to the house.
You mean well, honey, but... Oh, God, where can he be? Anna!
Anna!
Miss Haraldson. Miss Haraldson.
What is it? Martell! Peter!
It's all right, Anna.
Shh, no noise.
What does he want?
Shh, very quiet. Do not be frightened. This boat is no place for children. Come, you must go. Your kayaks are back in the water. Follow me. Now closely. Walk carefully. And when we get to the deck, keep in the shadows.
How do you know the Grind are coming?
I have my ways. I also know they will rendezvous at the Store Rock.
Only a Norlander could know these things. You're a Belgian.
The Grind will rendezvous at the Store Rock. I know. Now, you must hurry. Do not go straight to the house. Go to the south, the bird marsh. Understand?
I understand that. But not while you're helping us.
This affair is to the death, and it is for men, not for children. Away you go. Bon chance.
Come on, Anna.
Oh, let me sit down. I didn't think my legs would carry me back to the house. Oh. 5:30. We've been on our feet 10 hours non-stop. I've covered all the fishing locks. No sign of the children, I'm afraid.
I think I'm drained of emotion. Ah, Jakob. More coffee.
Yeah. The women cannot help with the search. To make food and drink is little enough.
And very welcome. Any sign of Mr. Harrison?
He returned, but has gone out again into the garden, Mr. Lombard. Yeah. There, gentlemen.
Thank you. Oh, I better go out to him, Lombard. He's been in a queer, fey mood since we arrived. But Anna's disappearance has taken the pins out of his wits altogether. In the garden, you said, Jakob?
Yeah, General. Near the trellis, at the bowling green.
I found Haraldson looking a good deal the worse for wear. He was staring owlishly at something which was making a commotion at the top of the trellis. Staring helplessly and doing nothing about it. It was a bird which had somehow got tangled in the top wires and was flapping wildly upside down on the end of a string. It was obviously in a fair way to perish from apoplexy. I saw that it was Morag, caught by the lead. It didn't take me long to extricate her and get savagely bitten in the process. I saw a paper round her leg and with some difficulty unwound it. My first feeling as I read it was a deep thankfulness. At any rate, the children were still in the land of the living. But we were badly handicapped by the fact that the enemy had them as hostages. From what Sandy had told me of Dangreville, it was not likely that he would be too scrupulous in the use of them. Sandy. The memory of him was like a blow in the face. What in God's name had happened to him? Here we were, up to our necks in a row of his devising, and no word of him. I pictured him held up by an accident somewhere on the road and frantically trying to get a message through to an island which was now wholly cut off from the world.
Yes, now swing that end around, Jakob. Against the doors. Yes, good. Now we will pile some chests on top of that.
We try, Mr. Lombard.
This part looks quite formidable, Dick. It's the back of the house that's weak. Jakob, there are some old mangles out there. Use those, and the chaff cutters, and anything that'll make an assault difficult.
Here you are, Mr. Lombard. Sven Hendricks, come with me.
Keep at it, Jakob. You're doing well. This house wasn't built for defense, Lombard. It's too big and rambling. You're right,
Dick. I have to report, sir, that none of those gardeners can be trusted with a gun. They'd be more likely to blow their own heads off than do any harm to the enemy.
It's true, General. My people know little of firearms. It would be safer to use them as lookouts.
So, the fighting men are you, Valdemar, Lombard, Geordie Hamilton, and myself. We're badly outnumbered. But at least we have plenty of weapons and ammunition. We'll discuss the fire plan when the barricades are all in position.
Then Holloway and give Jacob a hand.
Valdemar, you realize that you are what really matters to Dungreville?
Of course, to get you, he must first silence us, kill us, or bribe us.
With Peter and Anna is the price.
The thought of it makes me sick at heart.
And when we refuse, they'll attack.
And they're bound to win, from sheer weight of numbers.
Unless we can keep you out of their hands. So long as you remain uncaptured, they've not won.
Yes, I understand.
Is there any secret place to hide here, known only to you? Our one chance is to prevent your capture, if we can.
You won't be discovered down there, Valdemar.
Yes.
I had a good look at the hermit cell when we first arrived. But I'd no idea this passage was below it.
It leads to a cave above the harbour.
Don't try to get out. You'll be spotted. Sit tight until the enemy have gone. Even if we're all done for, the attack would have failed if you're still at liberty. Now, do you have all you need?
Yes, thank you. Good luck, General. Mr. Lombard.
Good luck, Valdemar.
Good luck. Coming up, Dick. Help me with the trap, Dick.
You remember, Harrelson, the one thing that matters is for you to keep yourself out of the enemy's hands.
Very well.
Sprinkle a little earth. And, yes, replace the fence. Yes, safely stowed. He insisted on taking his rifle. I couldn't refuse, Dick.
I think he was right. If the gang did find the passage, he'd want something to fight back with.
We could fight a sight better if Lord Clanroyden was here. What has happened to him? Do you think that gang got him?
I hope not. I doubt it. Sandy has the habit of popping up like a jack-in-the-box in the most unexpected ways and the most unexpected places.
Yes. You'd find it difficult to pop up here with all those barricades we've erected.
And we'll have to do the best we can without him. Well, back to the house, Lombard, and put the finishing touches to the defences.
That's the shutter's bar, General. The house is as strong as we can make it.
Thank you, Jacob.
General, I'll post the gardeners and watch to give a shout if they spot any of the gang.
Yeah. Well, it's time we three took up our positions.
Yes.
Geordie, the pavilion at the front of the house. Challenge anyone who appears on the terrace and don't let anyone approach the main door.
Right, General.
Mr. Lombard will command the rear. There's not much of a field of fire. It's likely to be close quarter work. So you'll have four double-barrel shotguns.
That suits me. I'm not much of a hand with a rifle.
And where will you be, sir?
On the roof. I'll come down to you every hour or so. It's 11 o'clock. I'll visit you at midday.
It was the sun that woke me. It must be about midday. Oh, Lordy, I'm hungry.
Let's go home.
Keep in cover, Anna. Don't go on the skyline. Oh, we're lucky not to have been caught by their motorboat. It missed us in that fog by a bee's whisker.
That's because you wouldn't do what Martel said and head south.
Well, I didn't trust him. Still don't. Mine, it's a bit slippery.
Oops, it is. But the shelter's gone. Probably round to the other side. There's nothing to worry about.
All the same, this track's very exposed. There's cover at the edge of the cliff.
You're being too cautious.
Oh, I'm stiff. I'd race you, Peter.
Shh.
What?
Quiet, Anna. There's a man just ahead, watching the house.
Oh.
Sorry to pull you down like that. We're lucky he hasn't seen us.
Where is he?
By the boulder.
Oh, I see him. Peter, he's armed.
How can we get to the house? Let our fathers know they've landed.
We'd have to go round that way.
Well, if there's no option, we'll have to go very carefully and use every bit of cover we can. Come on.
There's no cover over the next section at all, Peter. We'll be seen even if we crawl. We might as well run. Get it over. You with me?
Yes. Let's go. We may be lucky.
On the cliff. By the sea. A man.
Two of them. Keep running.
Another. On the hill. And behind you.
Anna, make for the spur of the hill. Out of sight.
They'll be down here in a jiffy. We'll find cover in the bird marsh. Let's go.
No, no good. We'll be in view in 20 yards. Unless they think we've doubled back.
They saw us come here.
Oh. It's the wildest chance, Anna, but look, there's a flock of young pinkfoot geese coming this way.
What?
I've just remembered something my father told me. The young pinkfoot's very, very nosy. He's not like other birds. If you show yourself, he'll move nearer to find out what sort of creature you are. Look, if I stand up and this flock moves nearer, the sentries will think the geese are moving away from us.
Oh.
It's only natural. You stay undercover.
Well, suppose the sentries see you as well.
Oh, we couldn't be in a worse mess than we are now. The geese have spotted me.
Oh.
No, don't move. Keep quiet. Let them come near, but don't let the sentries see me. It's worked! To the bird marsh, Anna! As fast as we can!
That was clever of you, Peter. We're safe enough here. Oh. Lordy, it's hot. There's a father and mother of a thunderstorm brewing up.
Well, let's start for the house, then. It'll be difficult getting to it, even from this side.
Oh, I don't think I can yet. I feel dreadfully sleepy. Perhaps it's the storm coming. All the energy's gone out of me. Have you ever seen so many daddy longlegs? That means the grins are coming. Martel said they'd rendezvous at the Store Rock.
Well, I'm not much interested in the grins, Anna. I'm far more concerned with trying to get back. You stay here and have a rest. I'll go and scout the way.
All right, Peter. But come back before the storm breaks. I hate being on my own in thunder.
I brought your lunch, Geordie. Bread and cheese and beer.
Oh, that's fine, sir.
Any sign of the enemy?
Well, I've kept my eyes skinned, but no, not a sign of anybody, sir. Apart from it being so close, I have no complaints, General.
It's a bit dark in the east. I think we're in for an almighty storm.
That'll not bother me. I'm in good shelter here, sir.
Right. I'm away up to the roof. I sat down on the roof with the chimney stack as cover, a revolver in my pocket, a couple of 240 magazine rifles beside me, and my spirits as low as I ever remembered them. It was getting very dark to the east over Hulder. The channel was being floored with odd little cat's paws. And though it was still close, I had the feeling of being in a hot room next to an icebox, as if something sharp and bitter were just around the corner. And then the gloom which had been brooding over the channel burst in a ferocious storm. I would have been beaten off my perch if I'd not found some shelter from the chimney stack. In a minute or two, the roof was white with hailstones, the size of sparrow's eggs. The garden, the terrace, the hillside looked deep in snow. And with the hail came a wind that cut like a knife. It must have been the better part of half an hour before the tornado passed, and I could look seaward at anything but a blinding scurry. There was the shoulder, white as a ship marooned in the Arctic ice, rocking in a sea which had suddenly become sullen and yeasty. A starboard ladder was down, but there was no sign of boats. They must have landed. On her deck, I thought I saw the flutter of a woman's dress. And then I looked at the foreground where a path from the harbour climbed onto the terrace. The pack had arrived.
Ah, Dick
Lombard.
Any sign of them?
They've landed.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
They're at the terrace, Dick.
Oh, I hope Geordie's kept well under cover. Jacob, tell your men to keep careful watch.
Yeah, General.
I think we're about to be busy, Lombard. Oh, he must have given his position away.
Can't we do anything?
Only stand to our own posts. That leaves two of us. Good luck.
Anna! Anna!
felt very vulnerable upon that roof. But I found a better stance in the corner of my chimney stack and picked up one of the rifles. The next act followed fast. The terrace became suddenly populous, and the newcomers were unchallenged. D'Angreville had not underrated his opponents. For to match our miserable trio, he'd brought at least 20. They were following a prearranged plan, based on exact knowledge of the place, for some made their way to the back parts, and some to the arcade which led to the hermit's cell. But more waited at the foot of the steps, which led to the main door. They were grouped in two bodies, with an alley between them, and seemed to be waiting for somebody. Who that was soon appeared. Up the alley came three men. I had no doubt about who they were, for I remembered Sandy's descriptions. D'Angreville was the tall fellow in the yachting cap and grey flannels. He'd grown his beard again and looked like a naval officer, except that his light, springy stride was scarcely the walk of the quarterdeck. The dark, lean man with a long face was Carreras, the Spaniard, and beyond doubt the slim one, in the much-stained blue suit and the cap a little over one eye, was Martel, the Belgian. I had an overpowering impression of a burning vitality which was also evil, a glowing, incandescent evil. It cried out from the taut lines of D'Angreville, from his poise, like that of a waiting leopard. It clamoured from Carreras's white, pitiless face. Above all, it seemed to me that it shouted from Martel. D'Angreville was a fallen angel, Carreras a common desperado. But Martel seemed to be villain, murderer, and sneak thief all in one.
The main body is in position. All is ready, Capitano.
All according to plan. Just like the old days, eh, Carreras? We will settle our affairs with Haraldsson and my account with Clan Royden. The men know my plan, Martel.
Oui, mon capitaine. Then now we go to parley first.
Très bien. Allons-y.
Watch out on the roof! You on the roof! Don't shoot!
Will you gentlemen tell me your business?
Sir Richard Hannay, isn't it? We want to talk with Mr. Haraldsson. But it would perhaps save time and trouble if I could first have a word with Lord Clanroyden.
Sorry, Mr. Harrelson's not at home. He's left the island.
They still keep up this pretense.
Why don't we shoot him down now and have done with it?
It will come to that soon enough, Carreras. I'd like to test the man's nerve. How unfortunate! What about Lord Clanroyden?
If you have anything to say, you can say it to me. Go ahead.
Our rooftop is scarcely the place for a conference. Come down, and surely we can talk indoors.
And then, as I looked at the three men, I had a sudden inspiration. I had meant to ask that D'Angreville should be their envoy, but I observed the man Martel, standing in an odd position, his left arm flung across his chest and clutching the biceps of his right. That was an attitude I'd seen before, and it woke in me a wild surmise. It might be meant as a sign. My mind was pretty hopeless, for their desire to talk seemed to me certain proof that they wanted to make terms about the children. But it was just not sodden enough to miss this little thing.
Right. I'll come down. Send one envoy.
Very well.
Not you, D'Angreville. You can keep yourself for Lord Clanroyden. I'll do my talking to the one on your left, the ugly looking one. Yes, you. With your arm across your chest.
That is you on both counts, Martel.
I'm going down now.
If there's any dirty work, you will pay for it bloodily, you understand?
I'll leave the door open so you can keep an eye on us. You two others stay where you are. We'll be inside the hall and the grid.
Haraldsson and Clanroyden are our objectives, Martel, and I am here for Clanroyden to answer my challenge in person.
Oui, mon capitaine.
Right, come inside.
Thank you, monsieur.
Here he is, Dick. Move out of the doorway, Lombard. Well, what do you want?
Dick, my lad, we've made rather a hash of this business.
God knows how Sandy had managed it. There was no ordinary makeup about him, no false moustache or dyed hair or that sort of thing. But in some subtle way, he had degraded himself. That is the only word for it. Everything about him, slanting eyebrows, furtive eyes, tricky mouth, slouching shoulders, was mean and sinister, because he chose that it should be so. But when he looked me in the face with that familiar twinkle in his eyes and that impish pucker of the lips, he was the friend I knew best in the world.
We must talk fast, for there isn't much time. I've made a deuce of a mess of things, and I thought I was being rather clever. I've done most of what I set out to do. I got Troth and his lot scared into fits. No more high-handed crimes for them. They're sitting in the Shaldar, sweating with terror. I've collected enough evidence to keep them good for the rest of their lives. And, incidentally, to hang Dangreville and most of his crime.
Good.
Do you realize that up to now, we had nothing against him that any court would listen to? Yeah. So I had to make him commit himself. You see that? He had to attack Haraldson on his island and have a showdown once and for all. But when I get here, I find there's not a soul on the island but dotards, and the whole place is as unprotected as a stranded whale. That's the weather for the grint. Gad, that would be a bit of luck. Where is Haraldson?
Hiding beneath the hermit cell.
I hope he'll stay in his earth. Now, see here, Dick. I've got word to the Danish destroyer that patrols the fishing banks. She's on her way, but she's coming from the Westmans and can't be here much before midnight. That gives Dangreville time to do the deuce of a lot of damage. How long can you stick it?
Oh, an hour, maybe. We've no manpower to keep them out. They're old hands and won't give us much of a chance of picking them off piecemeal.
They won't. If you can make it 3 hours, we might do the trick. I'll try to tangle up things the other end. I'll have to come over to you sometime, but I'll choose my own time for that, the moment when I can be of most use. If Dangreville finds that he's been fooled and gets his hands on me, then my number's up, and I won't be any use to you as a corpse.
My name is Peter Hannay. I come from England. I'm a friend of Anna Haraldsson. We were staying in the house, but some crooks captured us on the Shaldar.
That is what Anna Haraldsson has told us.
You've spoken to her? You know where she is? Is she safe?
Safe? Yes, she is safe back with her own people.
Oh.
You will see. She has told us everything. You will see.
They can agree to nothing without Harrison's consent, and he is not there.
The girl said he was on the island only yesterday.
I report the discussion, Carreras, and what I saw with my own eyes. Haraldsson is not in the house.
That's Clan Royden.
I saw no sign of him.
It is not like his way to act a coward.
He keeps out of view. I say we should attack now. We will soon find out.
I am inclined to agree.
Hold the chariot!
Take
cover! Carreras, come back! Get down!
Carreras!
Carreras!
He's dead. That man is a good shot. We should keep down.
Is it Clan Royden? Or is it Haraldsson? Keep close to the ground, Martel. We'll worm our way back to the men.
Clan Royden, back to the house with you. Quick, my nose, I tell you. I can't find in that storm with you and I.
Clan Royden, back to the house. Back to the house, but only one of us has been there. Martel, come back. Clan Royden! Clan Royden!
I was never more scared for you in my life, Sandy. Stay in behind the chimney.
Yes, it was a bit of a close call. One bullet went through my pocket. What's Dangreville up to?
He's sending men to come at Valdemar from above the cell.
Only that damned fool had stuck in his burrow and not tried to be heroic. Did you hear him? He sounded as if he's off his head. Who have you seen?
A man on the roof of the cell. He wasn't in my sights for long enough.
He didn't need to be. Petrol, they'll burn him out.
Oh, Sandy. Just below. Dangreville.
You have kept your promise, Lord Glenryden. I'm glad of that. This would have been a dull place without you.
Thank you. I like to keep my word.
You have won the first trick. I make you my compliments. But I do not think you will win the rubber. When we have secured Mr. Haraldson, I will give myself the pleasure of attending to you.
Oh, my God! What's that?
It's Haraldson. He's running amok down to the terrace. No weapon.
The man's gone berserk. He's going straight for Dangreville.
What's the matter with you, man?
Once in Byra, I saw a Malay run amok with a great knife. The crowd he was in, almost all armed, but not a shot was fired at the man. And he'd cut a throat and split two skulls before he was tripped up and sat upon by a drunken sailor coming down a side street, who hadn't a notion what was afoot. That was what happened now. A tornado with death in its face swept down on Dangreville, yet 20 men with rifles and pistols left him unhindered. Haraldson plucked Dangreville into his arms as a man might lift a child of 3, and held him up to the heavens like a priest offering a sacrifice. Then he turned and raced off the terrace, and the shooting began. Bullets kicked up flurries of dust from the flower beds. But for some unknown reason, they missed him. He headed onto the downland above the sea, never slackening his pace. He took great leaps among the hags and boulders, and by some trick of light, his figure seemed to increase instead of diminish with distance. So that when he came out on the cliff edge and was silhouetted against the sky, he was gigantic. He steadied himself on the brink, then swung Dangreville in his great arms and sent him hurtling into the void. Then he turned and staggered back. I got my glasses onto him and saw that he had dropped to the turf like a dead man.
Poor devil. Dangreville can't have known what was coming. Haraldson must have hugged him senseless.
We're quit of a rascal, but we've got a maniac on our hands.
I don't think so. The fury's out of him now. Not yet 7. 5 hours to keep these wolves at bay. Great Scott, what's that? My God, the Grint has come.
He was staring southward, and when I looked there, I saw a sight which bankrupted me of breath. Across the hill moved an army of men, not less than 100 strong, sweeping towards us, overflowing the lawns. Men shaggy and foul with blood, and each with a reeking wailing spear. And in the forefront of the invaders were Anna and Peter. Dimly I saw Dangreville's men below me cast one look at the murderous spectacle and then break wildly for the shore. It would have been a stout fellow who stood up against that nightmare army of blood-stained trolls. My last recollection is of the meal in the great hall of the house the following day. The Danish destroyer had arrived, and the gang were safely stowed away. And we were gathered together with the ship's officers and the Norlanders who had saved us for the feast of the Grint Hunt. I shall never forget that scene. It was as though a Viking tale had come to life. The long oak table and gigantic chairs, the ancient timbers, the black oak panelling carved in wild grotesques, the tapestries, and the multitude of ship models of every age, in silver and ivory, horn and teak, displayed in the subtly shifting illumination of scores of candles.
I shall come back to the Norlands. It was good of you to let me into this show, Dick.
You were the steadiest of the lot, Lombard. Never gave a cheap, even when things looked at their worst.
I often wanted to. I haven't gone quite soft, but I've let myself get dull and flat. I want to get air and space around me. I live in a stuffy world. So, I'm coming back to the Norlands to make myself. You know well enough what I mean.
I think I do. Every man must discover his own island of sheep.
You and Clan Royden have found yours, and I'm going to find mine.
Excuse me, General. Those three in the study are ready to speak with you now.
Thank you, Geordie. Well, gentlemen, shall we hear what they have decided?
Miss Ludlow, Mr. Albinus, Mr. Troth, the destroyer is about to leave with the prisoners. Have you considered our offer?
We accept your conditions, Lord Clanroyden. We have no choice. In return for your silence about our part in this affair, I renounce any claim I or my father had on Mr. Haraldson.
We never intended piracy to storm the island.
But once Dangreville and his ruffians took control...
You were powerless. We understand, Miss Ludlow.
I hope, Mr. Haraldson, that we're going to forgive and forget.
I ask for nothing better. Mr. Troth, I understand you still feel some grievance against me on my father's account and for your own father's sake. Well, we are willing that some reparation should be made. Lord Clanroyden will tell you what.
This chamois leather bag belonged to the late Mr. Haraldson. It came into my hands in rather an odd way, which you'll have read about in the newspapers. I propose, Mr. Troth, to give it to you.
What?
In full settlement of any claims you may think you have against the late Mr. Harrelson's estate. Miss Ludlow, will you open the bag?
Oh. Lancy!
It's the jade tablet, Eric.
So?
It's beautiful.
It's more than that. It's the key to Harrelson's treasure. Do you really mean me to act on what this tablet may tell me, Mr. Haraldson?
Certainly, Mr. Troth.
And to keep for myself whatever I may find?
Certainly. For yourself and any friends who want to share with you.
Now, one side's in Latin. The other must be the important side. Those marks must be the clue to the treasure. I suppose I can get them translated.
They've already been translated. I've seen to that.
And you found the secret of the tablet?
We found a list of the 12 main virtues and the 99 names of God.
In The Riddle of the Tablet, the final part of The Island of Sheep by John Buchan, adapted for radio by Anthony Carey, you heard Nigel Anthony as Richard Hannay, Robert Lang as Lombard, Geoffrey Matthews as Valdemar Haraldson, John Rowe as Sandy Clanroyden, and Patrick Malahide as Jacques d'Ancreville. Other parts were Peter Hannay, Jill Lidston, Anna Haraldson, Diana Olston, Geordie Hamilton, Joseph Brady, Lydia Ludlow, Maureen O'Brien, Troth, Ronald Baddeley, Albinus and Evanson, Nigel Graham, Jacob and Carreras, Stephen Thorne. The Island of Sheep was directed by Patrick Rayner.
We must apologise that The Island of Sheep tonight was in mono and not in stereo, as stated in Radio Times. I'm very sorry about that.